In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Christ is in our midst. He was, and is, and ever shall be. This morning, in worldwide orthodoxy, on this, the second Sunday of Great Lent, the Church commemorates a 14th century archbishop, an archbishop of Thessaloniki named Gregory Palamas. And he is called in the church, as we sang in his Apologeticum this morning, the light or the enlightener of orthodoxy and the pillar of faith. So this Sunday, second Sunday of Great Lent, is a huge Sunday. It's a very prominent Sunday. Last Sunday we had the Sunday of Orthodoxy, where we commemorated and remembered the restoration of the icons. And we talked about that the essence of the icons and the restoration of them is that the orthodoxy that Jesus Christ is God, and he comes in us in all of his glory. He revealed himself in all of his glory to St. Peter, James, and John on Transfiguration, and in many other ways throughout history, he has done the same with us. Even to this very morning, here this morning in our Divine Liturgy, he comes with us in his glory, and he shares himself with all of us. So this Sunday is a continuation of that teaching, of that orthodoxy, when we commemorate St. Gregory Palamas. Now, why is that so? Well, St. Gregory preserved the most basic tenet of orthodoxy, which is that we can have communion directly with the living God. Now, you may say, Father Michael, this is basic stuff. And yes, it is basic orthodoxy, that God is in us in his glory. But what happens over time is that people have their great ideas, and people have their opinions, and then people start to speak their opinions in the church, and what happens? We have what's called heresy. And so, in St. Gregory's time, there was a man named Barlaam of Calabria who taught that such communion that we hold to be basic and we, by the experience of our church, know to be true, he said is impossible. This Barlaam says it is impossible to commune directly with the living God, but we can at best do so with some kind of intermediary, some created intermediary at best. And he said, commune with the uncreated God. Now, Barlaam's attack on the orthodoxy attacks this very spirit of the gospel, of the good news. It goes against what the apostles taught, and what the holy fathers taught, and what the gospel writers taught, and what Jesus Christ himself taught in the scriptures. In fact, when Jesus went on Mount Tabor, and he revealed himself in all of his glory to Peter, James, and John, as much as they can bear, that is God revealing his glory to them, and by them experiencing that, tells it to us. That's possible for all of us. In fact, it happens all the time. It happens all the time that God reveals his glory to us. Now, why don't we see this? It's because we are not listening, and we aren't looking. God reveals us all the time. We have all this noise and distractions in our life. St. Gregory Palamas taught that the way to pray, anytime people ask me and I ask other people, how do we pray? Much of praying is being quiet, of being peaceful and listening. There's one father who said that even singing is listening. And I say this to the choir, and I say this to myself, and I say this to all of us. Even when we're singing, we should be listening. Because if we are not listening and we are not quiet, we can't do anything with God. One time I remember visiting someone in the hospital who had a heart attack, and they said they're going to change their life. And everything they talked about on their visit, the visit I had with them, is all the things they had to do when they got out of the hospital. All the business things, all the worries that they had. That's not listening. Listening is being quiet. That's why what St. Gregory Palamas practiced, and it was still practiced today, is called isihia. Literally, it means quietness. It means rest. It means peacefulness. We need rest. Prayer with God is rest. Yes, we call the liturgy work. The word liturgy means the work of the people. But even this is rest. I'm resting right now, believe it or not. When I was a new priest, I was worried. Oh, I do everything right. But it's rest. It's beautiful to be in God's presence and with each other and to be at rest with our Lord and our God. So true orthodoxy is based on communing directly with God. Of course, with limits, as much as we created human beings can be with the living God, but we can commune with God. We know by the church's experience and our own experience that God's life converges with ours. Heaven converges with the earth. Eternity converges with history. We, the saints on the earth, converge with the saints in the heaven. And together we're one church in one reality, living the heavenly kingdom, even though we are here in the year 2024 in this little town of Bellingham on a sunny day. God's life converges with us, and we converge our lives with him, and this is very possible. And the culmination that we have of this communion is today, this divine liturgy. It's not limited to today, but in the divine liturgy is the most important way that we converge our lives with God and he with us. But here's something, a little liturgical lesson. That what we do here, what I do in the altar, what you do here, does not conjure up this communion. This communion is already here. God is already communing with us. And what we do here is our participating in this communion that is always have. God is always wanting to commune with his people. And we can be one with God in Christ. And this is the root of everything we do, the root of our liturgy, the root of our lives, the very purpose of our lives, the joy of our lives. If we think in the world that being with God is not the greatest joy, then we need to really take an overview of what we look for in joy in our lives. Yes, we can enjoy the things that we have and God has given us, but the culmination of joy is to be here with God and to be with each other. Heaven is being with God. Heaven is not the culmination of stuff. It's not finding the perfect philosophical idea, passing the perfect laws, and making the perfect government. It's being with God. And the purpose of all orthodoxy is this communion. We supplicate God. We beg God to help us to enter this union and to remove the obstacles, that is, our sins, that get in the way of our communion, which is our very salvation. Communion is everything. Communion is our salvation. God offers it to us if we conquer our obstacles, that is, the passions, if we clean the house of our soul, if we rid our souls of greed and envy and all kinds of sins that infect it, then we can live with God directly. This is the purpose of why we had this very gospel this morning, of this man, this person who is a paralytic. According to Jesus' words, he's paralyzed. Jesus identifies the reason because of his sins. And this man asked his four friends to bring him, drop him down. And what does God do? God doesn't heal his body only for the sake of healing his body. He heals his body in order to reveal an invisible reality that his sins have been forgiven. If only we can see what sins physically with our eyes when they are forgiven, of gluttony flying out of our body, of greed melting onto the floor, of all these things. But most of what we deal with in our spiritual lives are that, spiritual, and are invisible to the eye, but nonetheless realistic. And so God forgave this man of his sins.
And the scribes are saying, oh, he's blaspheming. Who does he think he is? Only God can forgive sins. They spoke correctly, didn't they? Only God can forgive our sins. Only God can forgive and remove these obstacles of us. Our job is to be quiet, to listen, to be simple, to go to God, that is to trust in him that he will remove these things from us. But we need to offer ourselves and make those steps to do so. So this commemoration that we have today of St. Gregory Palamas is meant to encourage us in our Lenten journey of repentance, to encourage us during this time to empty ourselves of all worries and cares, but that's just the beginning. Also to rid ourselves of our gigantic, oversized, inflated egos, and to kill our egos, to stick a fork in our egos so that we can deflate and be present with our God so that he can inflate our lives with this Holy Communion that he wants to give us. So we need to empty ourselves, kill our ego, learn to live with humility, living a God-centered life that is in communion. And we have this time to work to purify all of these things that keep us from our Lord and our God, this holy gift of communion and this Eucharistic life that he has taught us and given to us and blesses us every time we come together for this divine liturgy.